It's time to give your computer repair business website a much-needed makeover. Check out the new Tech Site Builder 2. Save 20% by going to techsitebuilder.com/Linux.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Linux for the Rest of Us, episode 132. This is a show about Linux. We cover all sorts of Linux topics, hardware, software, anything that tickles our Linux fancy, and we bring it to you every week. I am Cody Cooper, a.k.a. Supercoop, and I am blessed every week to be here with my fantastic co-host, the Linux maven, Door Geek, a.k.a. Steve McLaughlin. How's it going, Door?
Hey, man. Just a absurd week. I think I'm going to be happy when May is over. For some reason, it just started out sickness everywhere around me. I need it to end.
Yeah, summer's here, man. I actually got ushered out into the yard today to do some work, and my allergies just got kicked into full gear. A lot of people are experiencing that. So,
yeah, in my whole life, I never remember suffering from allergies ever. I mean, ever, anything. And it just hit me. It hit me bad, and I believe it hit my youngest one, too, because he's not a sleeper. He's the one who you put to bed. And he'll lay in the bed for 2 hours singing to himself.
Oh, wow.
Multiple days in the last week. We pick him up from daycare. He falls asleep in the car. We have to wake him up when it's time to eat dinner, and then he goes right back to sleep again. He's done it like twice.
Mm. Yeah, it has different effects than everybody. And It gets worse and worse every year. In fact, here in the Willamette Valley, we're notorious for having the highest pollen count. Especially in the U.S., if not most of the world, it's like 400 times larger than most other places. It's just insane.
That is nuts.
Yeah,
and when you need a good filter on your house, and you need to stay inside,
and you need to keep those allergy pills on you 24/7.
Yeah,
yeah.
See, that's when you need liquor delivery and beer delivery, and combined with pizza delivery, and you're fine. Yeah. Just tell them to leave it in the garage. You'll get it in a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can get one of those water coolers, like the water cooler, right? You know, like traditional water cooler. Like, hey, we're standing around the water cooler at the office, and you have the big jug down below. Well, right. I have one where it's actually, you stand the water thing up, and it's just the hose that goes down into it and sucks upwards. So I could, like, load stuff, whiskey in that thing if I had to. I'm saying for emergency purposes.
Right, if you were forced.
Yeah, you know, gun to my head. I'm like, okay, fine, I'm pouring it now. And I could have it chilled or warm.
Okay. And sake or rum.
With enough of any of that, it doesn't matter what your cold feels like.
Mm-hmm. Or if zombies are outside.
Nope. It's an all-in-one solution.
Exactly. In the last couple weeks, we've mentioned Tech Site Builder 2 for everybody. I really honestly encourage you, if you want to take advantage of SEO stuff, techsitebuilder.com/Linux is the way to get it. We're going to change this week. We're going to soon have a guy on an episode of Pod Nuts. I'll say in the tech business in general, most of the people who are knowledgeable, who have value in the business, have no idea how business is actually ran. Perfect for instance, I know nothing about PHP. Today, in 15 minutes, I was able to design a PHP web page that did querying to a SQL Server 2008 and used Ajax and JavaScript to dynamically query and display records on an internal website. Because that's what techs do. You know, you figure out solutions. But when it comes time to actual do business, we don't really have a clue on how to fully take advantage of our own talents and abilities. There's a new product out there, Wise Technician 2. If you've ever heard Chris Berry on Podnuts Daily, The Great Tech Debate, any other shows you might have heard him on, you probably picked up on the fact that he's very confident in his knowledge and ability. He's basically been working by himself, for himself now for multiple years. He has a family. and he's been very successful at it. And it's not because he knows every technical trick there is. And it's not because he's like a smooth talker. He just knows how to talk to people, and he knows what they need to have a good running network, a good running computer, and how to keep people's computers up and running at a fair price and fair for both parties, what he deserves to get and what they're willing to pay. So I cannot encourage people enough. Check out Wise Technician. If you go to wisetechnician.com/podnuts, you will benefit the Podnuts Network. And to be quite honest, you will get a first class lesson in how to sell yourself and tricks of the trade to computer repair business. And he's going to be on an episode of Podnuts or Podnuts Daily here soon. Mm-hmm. I don't know when, because he is a busy fellow. But I highly encourage people, at least go to the site, look at the content that's available. And if you have questions about it, don't hesitate. Shoot emails at mail@podnuts.com. We'll make sure they get directly to the man, and he can answer any and all questions you guys have. Number one goal is satisfaction with this. Number two is you should honestly be able to make 5 times the amount what this video costs within a week with the tips that you learn.
No doubt in my mind on that. I got to tell you, back before I started my short-lived computer repair business, the one thing that really kind of gave me a swift kick was listening to Chris Berry's first Podnuts appearance. And that night alone, I listened to that thing back-to-back 2 or 3 times, taking voracious notes. So he has a wealth of knowledge. Not only, I mean, I would say if your interest is piqued, go check out that episode because it's still available. And you will know right off the bat how knowledgeable this guy is. So then you figure that was maybe 2 years ago, what he has developed since then, how he sort of tweaked his own methods, and now it's available in this video series. So yeah, do check it out. It's a wisetechnician.com/podnuts.
Yeah, I believe he has 3 different episodes I see. Full Podnuts, episode 54. Mm-hmm. Podnuts Daily, 339. And Podnuts Daily 347. We'll have links directly to all 3 of them in the show. Give it a try. Period. And I honestly cannot thank Chris enough. He gave me a free membership to it. Not because I need this for my business, but he knows I cannot speak on anything unless I actually see it for myself, kind of thing. So he more than graciously gave me a free copy. I'm trying my best to talk him into letting the network have a copy to give away. So wish me luck for that. And if you would like a free copy, do not forget to subscribe to Podnuts, Podnuts Daily, because a free copy might be coming if I can sweet talk the Canadian enough.
We'll make it happen.
Well, I'm going to use tips I learned from him.
There you go. Works. Oh, yeah.
Wish me luck.
Good luck, Dor.
Thank you. Okay. The basic is combination basic and a link, because up in Northeast GNU Linux Fest, me and you, I don't know if you actually met him, but I had the honor to actually meet and sit down with a man by the name of Ruben Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. I will be very honest. Usually when people do not speak incredibly clear, especially in a loud place like a bar, I have a really hard time keeping up with them. Ruben is so sharp. I literally sat there with him for every bit of 10 minutes. I was glued on every single word he said. And let me tell you something, he has a thick accent. And I made it a point to focus on what he was saying and blank everybody else out. In the Linux world, we really only have 2 sources of operating systems, distributions, that are solely based on capital F freedom, free software, software that respects the rights of the users. Okay, I use Ubuntu. Ubuntu is not a capital F freedom distribution. They support Flash. They support all these technologies that we cannot look inside as users and understand and help protect ourselves against. Debian is one of them that does. To put Flash or anything else on top of Debian, you have to enable third-party repositories. But Rubin actually went one step further with the F in Freedom. He went into the kernel itself, and he removed a lot, if not all, I believe he did to all. He removed all binary blobs where the source code is not open and available. Now, the example for that is, I want to say it's Realtek makes Wi-Fi chipset drivers as well. They're not F as in free. The company made the binary freely distributable by Linux, so they're in the kernel. Rubin went in and took them out because his main concern is he wanted to make sure this distribution respected the user's freedoms and rights and privacy and all that kind of stuff to the nth degree, so he made Triskel. Here's the kicker. Triskel is a Ubuntu-based distribution that is very easy to use. Utterly easy to use, I'll say. Very smooth. It just works. If you do not have the need for Flash, if you do not have the need to run Steam on Linux, if you do not have the need to encode MP3s, if there's stuff like that you just don't need as an end user, and to be honest, most of us don't need that kind of things, I highly encourage you to at least download Triskel, burn it to a DVD, put it on a thumb drive, boot to it in the live environment and play around. There's only a couple guys in the Linux ecosystem. I freely open my wallet and hand over money to whenever they need it kind of thing. Jonathan Nadeau is one of them. Ruben Rodriguez is the other. The bottom line, I can just say, class act. Utterly class act. Good guy. And he's trying to do everything, quote-unquote, right by the users. And he needs more publicity. I really wish he would do an Indiegogo for something, just because I want a reason to talk about him more, and I want to see him grow and get better. I mean, I don't know what else he needs with Triskel, but I want to support this guy. I want to do everything I can to support this guy. I emailed Jonathan and I asked about updates with Triskel. Jonathan knows Ruben. Jonathan was the guy that talked to Ruben, and he got accessibility turned on by default on every Triskel distribution. If you boot to it and don't touch anything for, I think it is 2 minutes, might be 30 seconds, Orca automatically kicks in and turns on. Now, it's not to the level of usability as Sonar is, but it's a billion times better than every other distro who doesn't even try to do it. Mm-hmm. So not only does Ruben respect our personal freedoms, he respects, dare I say, human beings. So I really like Ruben. And honestly, I really like Triskel. I need to install it. I'm going to probably install it on one of my kids' computers just to let him blast away at it.
Well, I can speak to Ruben's character as well. He was one of those great people that I met at NELF where I was talking to him just because, you know, he either engaged me or we were talking to Jonathan about, you know, whatever topic or whatever. And he was a very, very nice guy. And then it was a couple minutes later, he introduced himself and he didn't outright say what he was involved with. But later I found out that, yeah, that's the Triskel guy. I was like, oh, well, he's very nice and very knowledgeable. And he answered some questions of mine. And Ted So was another, the EXT4 guy, very, very, very nice. And it's, yeah, it was very, I love going to Fest so much because of those kind of interactions. But yeah, I got to say since my interaction with him at NELF, I hadn't really, I mean, I was aware of Triskel, following this link earlier in the day I was able to kind of investigate it a little bit more. And yeah, it does sound like a super great alternative and a lighter weight alternative too, if someone does really want to have that quote unquote free experience.
Yeah.
Because if you think of like a super ultra locked down distro, you know, what would be the complete opposite, the other side of the coin? It might be something like this. So it'd be nice to, if you are looking for something different, to try something like this and either, you know, scale it back or, you know, just ultimately find what's going to be better for you, but at least, you know, investigate your options.
Yeah. And that's the important thing, is there is choice out there. And I don't think, especially new users, are even aware that there is a choice, or that, dare I say, the choice even needs to be there. But thanks to guys like Ruben, it is. And there is a link on that article over at Computer World that goes to GNU.org. There is 8 other distributions, they say, that respect freedom. I've only heard of one of them, besides Triskel, and that is GNU Sense. And I'll just say, I highly doubt it's as easy to use as Triskel, just because Ruben really made that as his like focal point to using the distribution that's actually usable. So there is other ones. I want to support Ruben at least right now. So that's the one I want to publish, talk about. I would honestly like to see if he needs any help in distribution. If he wants to give us an image or a logo, I have no problem putting it in the show notes nearly every damn week just to support him, because I think he needs that kind of publicity. That's what I'm trying to say. I want to give him money, but he needs publicity.
Well, we'll figure something out. I know I can commit to installing it in the next couple of weeks and kind of give my little micro review, because, to be honest, I've tried a lot of just kind of mainstream distros. And a lot of really smaller projects too, but nothing this sort of liberated from a lot of the proprietary stuff. So I would be interested in giving it a try.
Very cool. Yeah, I loaded it maybe 8 or 9 months ago, and I had it running for at least a month, and it was perfectly fine. I believe that was the one where the computer literally just failed underneath it.
Okay.
So I didn't get a chance to put it back on a box.
Well, yeah, let me plan on getting back with a little Cody review of Triskel in a couple weeks.
Very cool. Okay. Okay, here's one of the, I'll say, anti-myths about free software, open source software, GPL, Apache licensed software. The myth is it can't be safe because everybody can see the code. The reality is it's typically 100 times safer because professionals and individuals can see the code. But nothing in this universe is absolute, okay? One thing I've learned through my life, the only thing that's absolute is I will die, okay? In general terms, free software, open source software, Apache licensed software kind of thing is typically eons safer, more reliable, and more stable than closed source proprietary software, just because of the number of people that work on it alone. But this has been going on for over a month and a half, and many people in even the tech world really have no idea what this is and what's going on. They keep saying there's like WordPress exploits going on and all these other kind of exploits going on that are jumping from server to server to server. The actuality is the Apache web server itself has, they expect, some kind of flaw in it. And I say it like that because it is so viciously unclear what in the hell is going on. All they know is they're finding Apache servers on the public-facing internet that are modified in such a way that they cannot trace how it was modified, when it was modified, who it was modified by. What they can tell is it does certain things, like it's intelligent to where if I am in a IP, if my computer that I'm accessing the web from is in a group that can be in security researchers teams, same groups like ESETNOT32, like McAfee, like Norton, like Microsoft, these kind of people, and you go to these infected websites, they basically ignore you. And they just act like you're a regular user and there's nothing wrong here, nothing to see. But if you come from a range of IPs that isn't in those security groups, it will put a secret hidden iframe up and it will attempt to infect your computer, and it can also live in your browser and infect other web servers.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, the whole gimmick is they don't know how it's happening. They don't know when it's happening. They don't know if it's just a simple like password hacking. They don't know if they're brute forcing passwords. They don't know if there's some kind of exploit going on. They just know it is out there. It is in the wild. And they believe it's been going on, I want to say, for at least 8 months. But it's not gotten popular until like a month, month and a half ago. So even if you own a website, you own, oh, I don't know, DoorToDoorGeek.com. I could go there and never even know it's infected. But if I go there by first going to Google and typing in DoorToDoorGeek and then clicking that link, that might be the indication that it's infected. Because I've seen that too, where I go in my address bar, I type DoorToDoorGeek.com, it looks just fine. But if I go to Google and type DoorToDoorGeek, and I click the link in Google to go to my site, I've seen the infection. Now, I'm just using my domain as an example. It wasn't actually my domain. It was a friend's domain that I do not want to call out. So it is out there, and it is real. And I highly encourage everyone, if you own a domain, just go to Google, type in whatever will find your domain, click that link, and verify it's all working good. If you have any concerns that it is not working good, you need to contact your ISP and I'm trying to remember the name of it. The name of it is Black Hole Exploit. So if you think you're infected, contact your ISP, ask them to check for the Black Hole Exploit. And honestly, people, I'm just saying, this isn't the end of the world. But this ain't cool. The servers that we know, trust, rely on, utilize, and which are the actual backbone of the internet, i.e. everything from Netflix to email to Amazon to iTunes, everything is touching an Apache server. Even if you're Microsoft, I can't get to Microsoft.com without bouncing off of someplace else. So this is really serious stuff that I hope gets resolved soon. I'll just say that.
Yeah, it's crazy. They can't even sort of track it, although it'd be interesting to sort of read up on it and see how they found out that's even happening.
Yeah, I mean, the last I looked into it was over a week ago, but I've heard no news whatsoever, good, bad, or indifferent about this. So if somebody did figure something out, I haven't seen it, but the last I heard, they just don't know what's going on. They just know they visit a site, it's not infected. They visit a site, it's infected, and everything else looks fine. There's no traces, there's no remnants, there's no edits they can see, there's no log files showing anything bad. So whoever is doing it is doing something very smart, which I think really just means in the future, it's going to be worse. Because that's just how it is.
Yeah, it will be scary. Keep our eye on it, though. Yeah, I'll have to read up on that myself. I was unaware. But now, yeah, that's...
Yeah, and because websites generally suck horribly, viciously, ignorantly suck, and this is a lot of websites I'm talking about, you know, Podnos.com doesn't try to do this, but a lot of other sites, including our first two links, computer world and network world both did the horrible, in my eyes, I'll say kind of immoral and kind of unethical, purposeful splitting of content amongst multiple pages so they can display you more ads. I don't like people doing that. And unless it's a really long article and there's actual separate bodies of content, I can understand putting it on different pages, but just splitting it because they want to. Like on that last article, you hit next page and there's literally like 20 words on that next page.
Right. They break it up into little micro chapters. Yeah. Right. I hate that. Just
because they want to display more ads. Well, this isn't the best solution out there, I'm sure, but this is the one I found. So I hope if people out there have a better solution, please let me know. Please let me know. I'll let everybody else know. mail@ponix.com. It's called Page Zipper. Page Zipper is a Firefox or Chrome extension. And what it basically does is if you're on a page that says, you know, click next and you look down and you see page 1 of 5, all you got to do in Chrome is click the icon up in your bar and then it will recognize this is a multi-page site. All you have to do when you get to the end of the content is just hit end on your keyboard or page down or go down, and it will automatically bounce you to page 2.
Oh, okay.
So you don't have to click next and back up in your browser. You know what I mean? Because right now, if I'm in that browser and I hit back, I don't jump back to page 1, you know, or from page 4 to page 3, from page 3 to page 2, from page 2 to page 1. I don't do all that. If I click back, it only registers that main first page.
Mm-hmm.
So it does a couple of things that I'll say are very smart and that I like. But if there is something else better, please let me know. If I had money, I'd send it to you because I'm getting upset at sites that keep doing this.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand, like, well, for instance, our main site, you know, the very front of it, we'll have a condensed version of the show notes with a, you know, like, click here to read full notes, and then it'll kick it to the, you know, the subpage for that individual show, or individual episode's show notes. Something like that I can understand. But it's not so much an enticement as in we don't want to take up all that, you know, space for just the complete show notes for one show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, to have all those little, you know, longer articles broken up into little micro articles or chapters just to get more clicks, it's kind of stupid.
Yeah, on Ponix.com, I'll say it's using Drupal 6. If it was using Drupal 7, I believe there is a way to do a Ajax dynamic div display to when you click read more, it will actually just expand it right there, and it wouldn't go to a next page. I can guarantee you, Podnuts is not getting paid a dime on the number of ads being seen anywhere. So if we make you see one page or 1,500 pages, we don't get any more money. Period. Mm-hmm. So we're just behind the times. We're on circa 2006. Yeah, and that's okay for now. You know, we'll grow up soon.
Yeah, we'll take full advantage of that later.
Yeah, this was something else that we learned up in Northeast Linux Fest, I believe. Me and you were talking to Jonathan, and someone mentioned Coursera.
Oh yes. Oh boy.
Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Coursera is great. Can't get around it. It's free content with instructors who are general, who are actual qualified, bona fide instructors and not buffoons. Well, maybe they're still buffoons, but that's a personal thing. There's another one out there. Okay. Coursera is a collaboration of, I think, 6, 8, 12, whatever colleges and universities. Well, Stanford and I believe MIT joined forces and they're offering EdX. I seriously cannot even say this clear enough. if you don't want to spend thousands of dollars for education, edX will teach you a great many things, and Coursera will teach you a great many things that many people have paid lots of money to learn in the past. And I believe both Coursera and edX will give you some kind of certificate of completion. And I believe they both have the ability to at least give you partial credit. And I mean college credits. So I highly encourage people who are very concerned about classes, courses, certifications of completion. I'm not saying like Linux certifications or MS certifications, but certifications of completion and or partial credits, showing that you actually put the time in yourself, voluntary to learn stuff. You gotta check out edX and Coursera.
Yeah, I have yet to check out edX myself, but Coursera, that was mentioned, I think, on the Techie Geek, maybe close to a year ago. And man, yeah. And I got to tell you, I mean, employers, basically it comes down to employers are going to hire people with a good skill set. You know, certifications help, but having something like on your resume, like worked 5 years with Windows versus, hey, I took these online classes and got these certificates in these, you know, 12 categories, which is going to look better. When I think of higher education nowadays, and a lot of people argue this too, it really is just another product that's being sold to you, and it's being sold to a lot of people at a high price. Yes, you're going to be able to get student loans, but I mean, if you're talking about paying off student loans, you're talking, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, you know?
Yeah. And so, I don't know who has that kind of money just sitting around waiting to pay people off.
Right. But yeah, if
I'll say,
oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is, I mean, I know that I have a bunch of different areas of tech that I would love to get into. And books are, you know, one way to go about it. But specifically with Coursera, you know, it's like signing up for an actual course. You know, you have the start date and the end date, and you have, you know, literally coursework every week, you know, homework, projects. So I would highly recommend them. And yeah, edX was developed by Harvard and MIT together, and then Stanford is now joining them. So to see three big educational institutions come together for something like this is going to be great. I know that, I want to say it's Harvard.
There's a bunch of them. Are you okay? Are you ready?
Yeah.
MIT, Harvard, Berkeley, the University of Texas System, McGill, All Australian National University, Rice, TU Delft, I believe it is, Ecole Polytechnique, University of Toronto, Georgetown University, and Wellesley, I believe it is. That's a lot of schools. This one is growing just like Coursera has a bunch of schools underneath them. And I'll say they do have both technical and non-technical courses there as well. I'm trying to get my wife to take a couple. I did see, dare I say, without getting figuratively knocked in the head by Jonathan Nadeau, I see software as a service, which are in the shapes of cloudy, puffy things, which he kind of doesn't like, but this is the same kind of thing where you basically sign up and there are scheduled starting dates, ending dates, meeting dates, class times, kind of thing. Just really, I mean, free knowledge. You can't beat free knowledge from professionals that get paid a lot of money to teach this same knowledge. This is the time to be a teenager as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, do yourself the service and at least check out what they have available. Because yeah, some of them, I've seen some great ones on Coursera. You know, like security related, you know, computer science. You know, different levels of computer science. I mean, all sorts of. I mean, basically any kind of course you could figure for any sort of area of tech. But then they have other really like fun things or other educational things that I might not have been into. But there is a variance. I mean, a lot of different ones. Don't just feel like it's all tech based. And go check it out when you can, because it'll be worth your time.
Yeah, now if I saw a course about cooking bacon, of course that class would be full, but I would be in that one. We started out talking about freedom, and at least my last link is going to be circled around freedom as well. A lot of very short-sighted, very narrow-minded fellows out there have the, dare I say, stigmatism in their head, in their thought process, where it's like hard-coded and they just can't get out of this hard-coding of, if it's free, you really can't make money off of it kind of attitude. To which I just say, you know, grow up. This isn't the 90s. Look around. Have a brain. The people who make money don't do what everybody else does. The people who make money go a little bit outside the box, and they offer customer service, not closed solutions. I mean, it's just one of the truths about life, I'll say. There's a new market that's opened up. I don't know how successful it's going to be because I think the name might inhibit random people from finding it. I'll just say that. And it's called flossmarket.com. Okay? What it aims to be is basically a central hub, like, dare I say, classified ads in a newspaper. This tries to be a central hub of information for contractors to post their talents and for people who are looking for development with open source software to look for people to pay them to develop. It looks like the three, at least, technologies they highlight are Drupal, WordPress, and Magneto, but no, that's Magento. I'm going to say Magento. And if people haven't figured it out yet, people pay a lot of money for custom Drupal. Let me actually retract that and let's be real. People will pay other people to install WordPress for them. Mm-hmm. Okay. Even though you and me both know it's one click. People will still pay for that convenience. People will also pay for custom themes, custom layout, site maintenance, and even the posting of content onto these free and open source pieces of software. They have people that will do work in everything from WordPress, Postgres, RHEL, jQuery, Drupal, Apache, MySQL, Debian, PostFix, Nginx, GlassFix, Joomla, OpenCart. I can't breathe that deep, okay? A lot of different stuff. And I will say, if you yourself has a talent, like I see jQuery, I'm giving this link to a coworker right after the show. Because I know one of the things he likes is developing in something that he's in the process of learning, because it just means he's going to get paid and learn more. And if he can learn more jQuery and get paid for it, I mean, the double win. I mean, there's no chance of a whammy even coming into the view. So I highly encourage people, if you have a talent or if you need talents, check out Floss Market. I honestly think it's going to grow into something really good. I don't know how fast it will happen, but I feel at least pretty confident that it's going to get better.
See, I love to see things like this pop up, because we hear from, you know, everyone. I mean, we hear from a lot of different news outlets, and then people who are actually in the IT industry saying that, you know what, Linux professionals are really sought after. And while that's great, you know, some of those jobs may be hard to land. Some of them might be impossible to find, depending on where you live. But this is just another way to help showcase your skills. And not only that, but from what I'm understanding here, I mean, to really, kind of like what you were saying, it's almost like a classified ad type of thing where you're like, hey, there's a posting asking for, you know, that. I know how to do that. Yeah. I'm going to contact them.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to get at all actual political in this show, but I'll say a lot of people out there complain about the economy, the economy, the economy, the economy, the economy, the economy, the economy. If a lot of those people spent a little bit of effort in trying to do something versus complaining, I think they would be surprised at what they could do. I mean, we just went over edX.org and Coursera, where you can learn stuff for free, and then we're telling you about a place where you can take that free stuff you learned and make money off of it. Now, I'm not saying you'll get enough in a month to afford a house and a family, but we always got to take something versus nothing, and I think with freedom, we have the ability to grow at whatever rate we can grow. That's just a belief of mine. I'll say that. And I know it's easy for me to say. I've had a 9-to-5 job at the same place for 17 years now. 17 years. I still have some sanity left after 17 years. I don't know how. But I know it's super easy for me to sit back and play armchair quarterback and saying these kind of things. But I will say I also have not got a real raise in over 8 years, so it's not like they keep giving me money hand over fist where I'm at. I have to work for my money and to survive every day. We all have to do something. If it can involve free software, man, I would be so much happier every day. I will say that. And I don't get that choice. I mean, I every now and then get a chance to squeeze in some open source into my job, and when I do, man, I feel good. I really feel good because I know I'm saving them money. I'm giving them good stuff. I'm pouring my heart into it. I'll support them. I'll do all the security. I'll do all the testing. I'll do all the development. I'll do everything. And it's far more than what they're paying me for, you know? So I just like learning, and this is just another place where we could take advantage of it.
Could not agree more. I think, I mean, lately you more than me, but we've been busy with a lot of behind the scenes Podnut stuff. But if you really think of where you are spending your free time and what you want to accomplish in life, if what you're spending that free time on isn't going toward the accomplishments you want to make, then ask yourself why. Reevaluate, check out something like this. It'll be a lot better solution for you.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, I got a few here that I wanted to mention. First of all, speaking of wasting your free time, this is a great segue. If you're going to be wasting some free time on, especially on some video games, you guys know what's coming. New Humble Bundle announced today. And this one is one of the best ever. And also, it has a neat little twist on it. This one's called the Humble Double Fine Bundle. It has three well-known games, one particularly well-known. There's Costume Quest, Psychonauts, and Stacking. Psychonauts is one of the more popular games. It was actually a console game made by the guy Tim Schafer, who then made another game, which I'm about to mention here in a minute. But if you haven't checked out that game, it is just tons of fun.
Well, and I believe at least most, if not all, these are first-timers.
I believe so, yeah.
Good, very good.
Yep. But yeah, Double Fine is the studio that Tim Schafer is developing a game for right now. If he's not the sole owner of the studio, I'm not sure. But what's cool about this now, in traditionally, you know, if you meet over the minimum, you would get another game or two. Well, in this, right now, as of this recording today on May 7th, if you meet over the minimum of $7.96, you also get his very popular console release, Brutal Legend. If you guys don't know what that is, it's like an action strategy game where imagine you're this heavy metal rocker going on this crazy, just action-packed mission, and he is voiced by Jack Black. from Tenacious D. So a lot of really good humor, a lot of good gameplay, a little bit of like strategy action to it, but it's just a blast. So you pay just under $8, you get that as well. Well, now, with this one, if you pay $35 or more, you also get backer access to this Kickstarter project for Double Fine's new game, Broken Age, which also looks to be very good. So you figure $35, you're getting four games plus this one game when it comes out, and that's going to be cross-platform when it comes out for not only Windows, but OS X and Linux.
Good, good.
For $70 or more, you get all of that and a limited edition T-shirt, which is available as a package, and they have two different colors, white or black. So you figure for $70, you're doing them a world of good. For half that, you're getting a great deal, but for at least $8, you're getting yourself a lot of games. So,
yeah.
And Dor, I mean, you've bought in almost all the Humble Bundles yourself. What is your experience with them for those of you, our listeners, who haven't heard you talk about it before?
It's a really, let me tell you something. They have the process down. It just works. It's easy. It's not massive, ridiculous click-throughs. It's not complex. You're not going to get spammed. And you can literally pick where your money goes. That right there is inventive and different. You have freedom to pick where you want your money to go. But you do. I'll say they got a little dry in the last couple months because they were really trying to keep up a really hard pace. I like seeing new games. Mm-hmm. Being a father, I like Kung Fu Panda. So I know I've heard a lot of Jack Black, but I've also watched Tenacious D HBO specials, and mm-hmm. I've seen other stuff, so I will look forward to hearing Jack Black in a video game, period. Broken Age is very interesting. It almost looks like, the only thing I can compare it to is Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, I want to say it's called. Very unique looking graphics. Very artsy kind of graphics.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a really smooth game. So I'll see if I can get the 35 together for that. I don't see having the 70 available, but I have a lot of T-shirts. If I can, and here's, I think, the beautiful thing. If I get up $35, there's 13 days to go, and then in 12 days after that, I get $35 more. I can go in and up my pledge and get that shirt.
Yep, you sure can.
So hope is not lost.
Yes.
And it's DRM-free. I know a lot of people who are true freedom lovers have a little bit of an issue with Humble Bundle. Again, I'll say there is no absolute. I think these people are far better than anybody else offering anything even remotely similar to this. Everything's DRM free. That alone makes me want to support them. They're at least trying to do that right. They're picking where the money goes. They don't spam you. It's easy to gift it. I've actually gifted a couple people in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, I like Jack Black.
Oh, me too. Well, and something kind of what you say, actually, you as the person, and I'm sure, I know you know this, but the listeners might not, you get to determine where the money goes. So let's say you go in for $20. Well, you get to determine how much of it goes to Double Fine, how much of it goes to the Humble Bundle as a tip, how much of it goes to the EFF, and how much of it goes to Child's Play, which, of course, is the great charity organization that puts like video games and systems in the hands of children's hospitals, you know, the kids who really do need a good time or something to take their mind off of what's happening to them. Either way, you're getting a great deal. A couple of things I forgot to mention, and I've never mentioned this before, and I don't remember why, but as long as you donate at least a minimum of $1 to this to get the games, you also get the Steam keys for all the games. And with Steam on Linux, with them opening their library up, I'm getting as many Steam games as I possibly can. Like the summer sale, they had all the Valve games for $50. Every single game that Valve had ever made for $50. That's, I mean, an insane amount of content. I was like, I'm buying it now, even though I don't have a Windows rig up and running right now. I know it's going to be on Linux eventually, so I'll just get to do it. So even if you're not planning on playing them right now, if you want to play them through Steam eventually, whenever, on Windows, Linux, or Mac, you're going to have those keys for a buck or more. You're also including, you're going to get the Psychonauts digital soundtrack and the digital score, but if you also meet the minimum, not only are you getting Brutal Legend the game, but you're also getting the Brutal Legend soundtrack, which I got to say, by itself, from what I've heard from the game itself, is worth at least the $8 or $10 to buy alone.
Very cool, yeah, and I honestly look at it like this. This is an investment in my son's future time. I'm buying all these games so when he gets a little bit better at games, I can ease him out. Here's a game. Why don't you play this, son? And let him master it, beat it, destroy it. You know, a month later, hey, guess what? Here's another game, son. And with it being DRM-free, cross-platform, Steam-capable, means I literally don't have to worry what computer he's on. I mean, I don't. And that's a beautiful thing. I love cross-platform. So I honestly encourage people, even if it's a nephew that needs games, bang for the buck, it's hard to beat Humble Bundle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, overall, it's a great deal for everybody involved, so definitely check it out if you haven't before. And something Dorm mentioned earlier, they're trying to kind of diversify themselves. They have some Android bundles they're trying. They've tried some weekly sales as opposed to, you know, like a 14-day, you know, bundle. They've done single games, so they're definitely diversifying and trying to deliver different content. They did a music sale for a while. They did a digital book sale, so either way, I mean, it's a fantastic value for the customer, for you. So definitely check it out when you can.
Right, right.
Very cool.
There was one link grayed out. I'll just say this. There is in actuality no such thing as a Debian review. Debian's out. If you want to know what it is, travel back in time and download Debian testing. It's the exact same thing. Nothing's different. It's just stable goodness. Nothing bleeding edge, nothing crazy. Everybody now has a new stable base to use. Expect very solid based distributions from Debian for the next year, 2 years, because they have another great start. And yeah, that's all. It's Debian. It's the most boring thing ever. But it just works.
But it is that stable rock. So
it is, and yeah. I love it, and I'm grateful for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Debian 7.0 Wheezy was reviewed on the released on the 5th on Cinco de Mayo, which I cannot discount as a non-coincidence.
Yep.
I just wish I had like a nice bowl of salsa, you know, a couple Coronas or something, sit back, install some Wheezy. Like, this is the life.
Would have been good. I love Debian net install. You start with nothing. You start with a command shell, a terminal, and that's it. And then you just sudo apt-get whatever in the heck you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was listening to, I can't remember if we talked about this on or off the air, but we were talking about it was you, Martin, and I were talking about OpenSUSE's net installer, kind of how you can configure, I think it was through SUSE Studio, like configure your custom.
Yeah, that one is just a little bit, I don't know, it's a little bit weird to me. I haven't spent enough time with that. In mm-hmm. theory, it's fantastic. With Debian, I just, when I know I needed something that just worked, I just download the net install it. I don't worry about, well, do I have version 4? Do I have version 4.2? It's mm-hmm. Debian. If you worry about version numbers, don't install Debian. If you're worried about version numbers, the SUSE Studio is probably much more fitting, I'll say.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've never done a net installation like that before. And Martin Rambo Obando, who is not with us tonight, is committed to installing this within the next few days to give it a try. And I want to give it too, because I've installed older versions of Debian on some of my PowerPC Macs, but never on like on one of my main machines to really give it a try, you know, to kick the tires and to really experience it. So I'm looking forward to that. I'll probably do that before Triskel.
Well, I'll say the most important thing to know about Debian, if you go to download it and there are 7 ISO files numbered 1 through 7, back up, go someplace else. That version is supposed to be installed on a computer that will never be connected to the internet or anything else. So every piece of software it could possibly need are on those 7 ISO files. That's a trap that people have a habit of falling into. I fell into it too. I'm like, why do I need 7 DVDs? You know, and then you download all 7 and you burn 2 of them. And basically when you install, you're probably not going to need more than the first one or maybe the first 2. But then the base install, you go to do an update and it doesn't work because it's not supposed to be on the internet. So back up. I like the network install. It's called NetInstall, but there are other versions to get. Just don't get the 7 one. You'll literally go nuts.
Well, yeah, that could be a little disheartening if you go to do the updates for the first time, not knowing what version you had. Excuse me? Yeah, that would be unfortunate.
Actually, it looks like it was released on May the 4th be with you. Going by Debian.org.
Oh,
maybe
okay.
It was like midnight on May the 4th.
It's probably Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, it was the 5th in my book.
See, it's all that time conversion. I'm not good at it.
Yeah, there's all that happening in the future.
Yeah, there's only a website I could go to that would help me search and find information like this.
It's called DuckDuckGo, Dor.
I'm sorry, what? I wasn't listening.
Yeah, moving right along. Speaking of awesome things, because those last two things were pretty cool. The Raspberry Pi is officially getting support for Chrome OS.
Good.
Yes. Because, man, I got to tell you, and we spoke about this 2 or 3 episodes ago. Like the day the Raspberry Pi came out, if you sat down and asked 10 people, you know, give me 5 things you think this thing's going to be capable of, they wouldn't even scratch the surface. Because you see all these great projects that are coming up with not only creative cases, but ways to use them as single machines, ways to network them together and use them as, you know, miniature, cheap supercomputers, all sorts of awesome things. And with there's that great tool where it's like I called it like Goo Manager, but for the Raspberry Pi. It was basically how you get the different Raspberry Pi flavored distros.
Yeah,
which was cool. And now we'll be able to run the lightweight Chrome OS on the Raspberry Pi.
Very good. And it does look like, I can't pronounce his name, HEXXEH is one of the guys working on it. I believe he's a guy that works at Google, that works on Chrome OS, that also works on the Chrome x86 thing on his spare time. This guy is very busy in the Chrome world. Really smart guy. And I'll say if he's working on it, that's a good sign.
Yeah, I'm hoping at Google I.O. that they announce some sort of Chrome box, because I'm still waiting for a good one of those to come on the market to get from my dad.
Yeah, they haven't. That's right.
Yeah. They keep alluding to obviously it's going to happen, because,
it should.
Yeah, some of the prototype, they might be fake, but, look at the compact size of the Pi. You know, if you think of, like, our new Trent battery chargers, you know, you're going to have something like that. That's going to be the whole machine.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so, and I actually, at my work, I had a guy, I haven't met anyone in the wild that has bought a Chromebook yet, and actually got to talk to them about their experience. So it was very cool to just sort of meet someone by happenstance and get to talking about computers and saying, he was a little disheartened because he couldn't play PC games on his new computer. And I was like, oh, did you buy a Chromebook? And he goes, yeah, how'd you know? And we got to talking about it, but he loves it. So across the board, you know, the Chromebooks themselves are great machines. We've spoken to that, you know, for at least 2 or 3 different episodes. But to see that software ported to a different piece of hardware like this, it's just going to strengthen sort of both camps. So I'm very, very happy to see that happen. And
this is very good.
I can't remember if I mentioned this or not, but Cook Tech Inc., our good friends at Cook Tech Inc., Russ Winter's previous employer, they actually came out with a Model B case.
Oh, yeah. You told me, but I think it was an Voxer.
Yeah. They're the folks who made the solid steel black case who that Door got one of the Model A versions at OLF last year, and hands down the best case I've ever seen for the Raspberry Pi. If you go to eBay and search by seller, it's Cook Tech Inc. That's COOKTECHINC, as in Technology Incorporated. It's the only product they sell on eBay, so you can't miss it. Definitely go that route, though, versus searching for a Raspberry Pi case. Otherwise, you'll see thousands of options.
You'll see a thousand right. options. 999 of them are garbage, flaky, flimsy, weak things. And then, of course, you can make ones out of Legos, which is cool, but it's not really a case.
Nope.
You know, it's a show-off piece.
And with some U.S. sellers getting a hold of these new Model B boards, I mean, yes, they're selling out immediately, but more widespread availability, you know, they're making so many millions a month now. We're going to be able to get our hands on Pis much easier soon. Might as well plan for it. I actually ordered one of the cases just a few days ago. I don't even have a Pi yet. But especially after reading this article today about Chrome OS coming to it, I'm definitely going to give it a try. But yeah, if you're in the market for a case, definitely check out Cook Tech Inc. And yeah, we'll keep our ear to the ground and see. I can't wait to see someone actually installing this and get some video to see how snappy it is on the Raspberry Pi.
Yeah. Very cool. And honestly, I would like to be able to put it on my MK802 as well, because to be honest, in Chrome OS, now I can play Netflix, I can play YouTube good. That's like all the multimedia stuff I need.
Yep.
Oh, and I can do Plex too. I got to be able to do Plex. I can do Plex in it too, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to get between the stuff I hear on this show and then the stuff I've been hearing on Android App Addicts lately, and I'll do a little bit of cross-promotion. If you're not listening to Android App Addicts and if you have an Android phone, yes, Podness does have an Android show. Please check it out. It's fantastic. Door's on it. That's really all you need to know. There's Door and three other dudes, but Door's there.
And there is
manager
who's now the politician who I don't really trust politicians. I trust Eric Ardini. He's the kind of politician that I know other politicians don't like. Dirty thumbs, the most real down-to-earth Android user you will ever see in your life. And Steve C., the guy who hosts, he's on every show, but he never brings apps. But he can do that because he's the host.
I'm going to come to his defense. He's brought some apps before. It's just that he gets ragged on for not bringing apps consistently. But I will say what he does, it's very important. He is there every time, and he keeps you guys moving at a decent clip. So,
well, he's important, all right.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, speaking of other shows of ours, if you are a tech and if you want to promote your business or just come on and talk about some of your technology adventures, as it were, please send me an email to cody@podnets.com. We're looking for more guests for Podnets Daily coming up soon. We have a few booked right now, but having more just kind of on the back burner waiting to be put in the queue won't hurt. If you haven't listened to the show before, please check it out. It's Podnets Daily. You can find a link to RSS off of our website, podnets.com. And we're looking for guests, so we would love to have you on. Even if you don't be hesitant whatsoever. I will say, when I first my first show I ever appeared on was Podnets Daily, and I was a little bit nervous. But I got to tell you, within a couple minutes of being on the show, all those nerves go away, and it's just you and another person talking about what you love, which is technology. So it's a good time. Please, if you're interested, send me an email to cody@podnets.com. I will make it happen for you.
Good times.
All right. We got one email, and this is actually sent to me via Google Plus. And it's
a good email, man. It is a good email.
It is a good email. Well, it was one of two. Morton, and that's how I'm referring to him, because I know I butchered his other three names on a previous podcast. Didn't hear back from him. I might have offended him with my pronunciation, so I'm just calling him Morton. Anyway, he's a good fan of the show, brings a lot of good content to us online. He actually gave a really good response to a previous question from Ryan Ridenour. And Ryan wrote in, was asking for basically a Linux or open source-based financial solution that was not web-based, that he could host himself. and he was asking our opinion on it. Now, GNU Cache was mentioned there. Dor and I both, of course, talk about FreshBooks, but that's a web-based solution, and they have, you know, different. I don't know if they have an Android app yet, but I know they have an iOS app. Anyway, yeah, that's a great solution. But Morton wrote in, and thank you for doing it. A response to the request by Ryan Ridenour on the latest Linux for the Rest of Us. For managing the company accounts, consider freebooks/freedom, and that's PHREEBOOKS. And it is at www.freesoft.com. Once again, that's PH, not F. It's a self-hosted web-based accounting system. I did a write-up on it at writtenandread.net/freebooks. It's a pretty solid, and it is very customizable, so the administrator can hide parts of the system that should not be available to users. I quite liked some parts of simple invoices, although when they used it, they put quotes in the accounts as unpaid invoice. That makes no sense at all to me, and I hope they have fixed it. But with FreeBooks, you get all of it. Now, he says, I liked GNU Cache too, and when I was working at a law firm, I was actually working on dropping in the time tracking system is Kimai. That's K-I-M-A-I, and we have a link for that in the show notes. Again, self-hosted, the system has a tracker, so if you're away from home, you can log in, turn on the time tracker for a particular client, do your work, and then stop the tracker. With that tool, you can bill the client with precise time later on. Or if you have someone doing invoicing, they can pull it right out. It is very effective. Of course, this will not give you the invoice if you are off on site, but it can produce a receipt for the time spent. I advise getting the latest sources. There is a long time and a lot of features between stable release and the development version. Morton.
Dude, this is uncommonly clean and complete looking software.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is what is affectionately, in air quotes, called ERP. Accounting and management of inventory, labor, stock, assemblies, customer, vendor accounts, banking, shipping, POS systems, standard/custom reports, multi-user level security interface, e-commerce, multi-language. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, GPL2 software. Big plus in my book. You can download it and host it on your web server or a internal server or a internal server that you open ports to being public accessible. I have very little doubt in my mind if you look at paid ERP solutions, this would probably cost thousands of dollars. They're offering it to you for free. And I will say for their original product, which is just called Freedom, you can get paid technical support. 1 hour technical support blocks $50 for FreeSoft, which is a little bit different than FreeBooks. Dude, this is cool.
No, looks very cool. And thank you so much for writing in, Morton, because, you know, some of this, when Ryan initially set that in, I mean, I literally just kind of thought of the basic solutions that I had heard of or used in the past, but he had a very specific need, and this just goes to show how wonderful our community is, because someone in the community either listened to the show or saw the reference on Google+, knew about the solution, contacted one of us, and now we're able to bring it back to the episode and answer that question in a much more direct way. We just cannot thank you enough, Morton.
Dude, this is amazing software. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there I like, you know what I mean, and I speak highly about. This is very good software, man. If you at all want to have any of the functionality I mentioned before, you owe it to yourself to go download this, put it on a VM and try it. You can get it from SourceForge. So it's there. It's in zip form. It's all documented. You can see the history of it. It's GPL2. Good, 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 and good. I mean, wow.
Now, when this is not, I mean, this just came to me. This is honestly not a big promotional plug like thing. It's just, okay. When I was a tech, there were three main things that I really needed, that I felt needed to work on. One was my website, two was my sales pitch, and three was keeping track of finances. Between TechSite Builder 2, Wise Technician, and this, you have all three of those. With those three things, if you can manage those three things well, you're going to be beyond successful. So consider that.
Wow. Looking at the screenshots, we have... Look, I'm just going to say this. We have software that we paid for as a business over 98 something dollars for. And that's not 98, that's not 980, that's not 9,080, that's not 98,000. I would say that. It's a lot of money. This looks cleaner. This looks cleaner.
I think how many thousands of hours of tech support you could have just bought. Like, and what's my problem? Oh, no. Please, no, first, tell me about your day.
We could have bought the company and all of the family members associated with the company.
Created a little football league or something.
Yeah, this is really good looking stuff. This has to be put in people's bookmarks. I'm telling people right now.
Yep.
You've got to. You really got to.
Well, I'm looking for a new personal finance solution. I actually watched a couple of YouTube videos today on GNUcash. And then I read this link today because I'm behind on my stuff. And I was like, wow, that looks good. Because right now I just have a custom spreadsheet that I've made that I've been using for maybe 3 years now. And I think I just need something better. And
see, I have an ultra non-technical solution.
Yeah, your wife.
My wife. Thank you. Yeah, you're pretty quick there, Mr. Cooper.
Yeah. Well, if I really need to get my finances in line, I will just talk to your wife.
Your wife, exactly.
No. See, I tried my wife, and then that didn't work.
Yeah. I got lucky, man.
Yeah. There were a lot more shoes and purses in my house and not enough food and money for bills. I'll say that.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, whatever. But, yeah, thank you again, Morton. Ryan, I hope that answered your question. And not if, but when you do put this into effect, at least give it a try. Because Morton went to the trouble to bring it to you. Please report back and let us know what you thought about it, because that's going to complete the circle. Not only did you come to us for a solution, we gave you a solution by way of someone else in the community, and now it's up to you. You know, you ask, we deliver. Now you deliver a response to us. It's in your court, Ridden Hour, and go to madmonkeyhosting.com.
Yeah, I'm tempted to say, Ryan, okay, for him, personal, good, but for him, if he could offer it as a one-click install inside of Mad Monkey Hosting, that would be another huge feather in his cap, and I will throw this out there. I know it takes work to do that. I'm not asking him to do work for nothing, quote-unquote. I'm tempted to tell him to go do an Indiegogo. Put it on the line. Say, if people give me X amount of money, I'll make this a one-click install, free with hosting kind of thing. And, ask for a little bit of money, and I'm... because I think that needs more publication, free books, and Mad Monkey Hosting needs more publicity. So, it's just me.
Could not agree more. All right, well, that was the only message we had this week. If you want to send in any additional emails, please send them to podcast@linuxfortherestofus.com or send in a voicemail to 7076-PODNUT. Please, we're all out of voicemails, and we're running light on the emails. You can also just contact Dor or I on Google+, or I've been having some of you guys contact me via Google Talk and leave me messages, however you want to do it. We're trying to funnel in as much content, because we'd like hearing from you guys, because not only are you bringing us good content, but you're helping us solve your problems, or you're help us fill your needs with these suggestions, so we really do appreciate it.
Yeah.
Real quick, one last thing. My shout-out of the week goes to our good friend Nightwise from Nightwise.com. If you know who he is, you know something he did within the last few days.
You're talking about that.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Well, no, I got to bring it up because there's a certain other person on this podcast that called me out a bit.
It was the allergies, Cody.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Nightwise had a contest in order to raise his Google community membership. If it reached 175 members, I want to say within a week, he had this old, terrible you know, I think it was an HP or a Compaq. It was this old, terrible PC, just layered in dust and muck and filth that a friend of his literally just threw away that he had. And he called it the Vista machine because it had Vista. Basically, his friend put Vista on it and the machine died. If his Google community membership got up to 175 members or more within the week, he would post a video licking said machine. Ugh. Which when I... When I heard that, I immediately, I'm already, well, I don't know if I'm a member of his community or not. Anyway, I didn't want to do it because I didn't want to do it because I, first of all, I respected the man, or I should say respected. I still do. I'm just kidding. And I thought, first of all, I don't want him to get sick from whatever's on that case. And more importantly, I don't want his body interfacing with Vista if it doesn't have to. Needless to say, he got enough members to where he posted the video. If you haven't already started to follow him on Google Plus, please do. You can see the video. It was just posted either this morning or yesterday. It was yesterday, sometime yesterday. And as for what happened post lick, if a lick occurred, you're just going to have to find out. Dor, would you like to tell them what you said about me in the comments of said post?
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I was suffering
from
allergies.
Yeah, he was in an allergy haze. Anyway, Dor basically called me and Sean Johnson and Eric Ardini and Steve C, all four of us.
Oh, and Martin. I called Martin.
And Martin called us out for being slackers and not devoted to our community to that degree than Nightwise was to his. Now, I'm not calling Nightwise into question at all. He is fantastic. If you haven't listened to his show or any of his podcasts or any of his fiction that he reads on his show, do yourself a favor. Do it. Add it into your feed. Go check out his website. Post a lot of good YouTube videos. Amazing guy. Very, very nice. But it got me thinking, you know what? I could be doing more for our community. Dor and I have plans to do a variety of things, but this one thing came up, and it really sort of kickstarted my brain into an idea on how to give back to the community. And there's been something within the Podnuts universe that has recently been requested that I'm going to try to make happen. And that's all I'm going to say about it right now. So stay tuned. We have an announcement coming up soon. It'll either be on this show, or you might even hear it via a voicemail on Android App Addicts, if I had to guess. You might get a little teaser. So stay tuned. Keep watching this show and check out Android App Addicts. You will not be disappointed.
Very cool. Yeah, Nightwise, honestly, he's just... The only thing I don't like about Nightwise is the fact he lives in Belgium, and I can't just hang out with him. I like to hang out with him.
Scale 2017.
He ain't coming to Scale.
We can make it happen.
Oh, yeah. Good luck.
If he gets 100,000 Google community members inside 18 months who all donate $5, not even that, 25 cents? That's 25 grand. He could get a plane ticket.
I don't know if his issue is money, and I'll say I understand him.
Speaking of that, Scale 2014, Dor Geek and Cody Supercoop Cooper will be there live doing something.
My back hurts, Cody.
Well.
Oh, that's because you're kicking it. Sorry.
You're supposed to ask me, are you my lawyer? Then get off my case. Anyway, it's just going to happen. The sooner you just resign to it, you know, that invisible pain on your back is just going to go away. Your allergy pains will go away if you just admit that's going to happen. But that's fine. I don't want to get you in some sort of a fear stupor right now.
Nightwise.com. Go check him out. If you do like what you see, let him know we sent you. And I'm going to ask people really quickly to pull double duty. And yes, I just said duty. I consider a friend, Mark Cockrell, over at elementob.com. Did a little research, had a little people help him out, and he found out if you, let's say, go over to a brother's, a sister's, a mother's, a father's, a son's, a daughter's, whatever, Windows computer that has iTunes loaded on it, and they do not have an account created, you can go to the App Store, click to purchase a free application. It will prompt you to create an account where you do not need to put in a credit card. That's how you do it. That's the trick. You can then make said account without a credit card, go browse the iTunes podcast, and give Lennox or the rest of us and or the Nightcast, Nightwise's podcast, a good review if you see fit. If you yourself own a Windows computer, yeah, it just made you can do it. You don't need to give them a credit card, because I thought for years you had to. So I definitely want to thank Mark for letting me know about that. I'm trying to get Mark on an episode here soon, partially because I believe he needs more publicity too, and I just like chatting with him. You know, fun guy.
If I'm not mistaken, isn't he soft confirmed for next week?
I don't know. I'm so behind in my email too.
Okay, I'm pretty sure we're having him on soon. I believe it's the next episode. I will double check. I'm almost positive. I would bet a finger on it at this point, but I don't have a sharp implement with
Which
nearby.
Which finger?
Left pinky, least, okay. The well, one I don't need.
Yeah.
Not getting right index, man. That's the mouse finger.
Yeah.
No way. And neither of the middles. Those are the attention getters.
Yeah, true.
The exclamation points. Dor, where can we find you on the internet? You're on there, right?
Podnuts.com. If you want to find me on Google Plus, you can try looking for Door-to-Door Geek. You can try looking for Podnuts. If you want to hear my name spelled phonetically, because we're on an audio podcast, it is Stephen McLaughlin, but it's spelled Stephen McLaughlin. Trust me. Just sound it out, type it, it'll auto-populate. You'll see a goofy Door-to-Door Geek green icon.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dor. I'm, of course, I'm Cody Cooper. You can contact me on Google Plus, just Cody Cooper, that's CodyCooper. Also, please, if you would like, as I mentioned earlier, for any questions or if you want to be on Podnuts Daily, just email me at cody@podnuts.com. Also, please check out our Podnuts link for Amazon. That's podnuts.com/Amazon. For any purchases you are going to be making on Amazon anyway, you can help benefit the network by using that link. We will get a small commission there. We also have a /Newegg/eBay account as well. So any purchases you're going to make there will help us. We appreciate it. And check out podnuts.com/deals. We've got some really good partners on there where we're offering some products and some new ones on the way. Some refreshes to old products. Let's just say we got some good stuff coming down the pipeline. So keep your eye there. There'll be some good stuff very, very soon. Once again, thank you for listening. And please remember, Linux is not just for the rest of us. It is for all of us. Good night.